In this verse, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Yasman no dvijate loko, lokan no dvijate chaya, harsha marsha bhayo dvegar, mukto ya satcha me priyaha. He for whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anxiety, who is steady in happiness and distress, is very dear to me. So this is the conclusion of the Bhakti Yoga section of Bhagavad Gita, beginning in chapters 7 through 12. Krishna is enunciating all the different aspects of his greatness and how devotees see him. Then he's finally saying how you can become a Priyajana, how you become a Priyajana or Priyabhakta of the Lord. And one who has all these qualities, as mentioned in text 13, throughout the chapter there's probably 7 or 9 verses where he says the same phrase, Satcha Chame Priha, Chame Priha, Chame Priha. 15 Chame Priha, 16 Same Priha, 19 Me Priha, 20 Me Priha. So the last 5 verses is all about Priya. Right? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 6 verses is all about Priya, Priya, Priya. So Priya, of course, ultimately leads us to the conclusion, the topmost, dearmost, because these are all qualities of a Priya Bhakta. A Bhakta of Krishna will be, like it says in this verse, he'll be non-envious. He'll be friendly to everyone. He doesn't think that he owns anything. He understands that everything belongs to Krishna, and he's simply a caretaker. When a devotee gets a new book, we were trained, generally he writes in the front of the book, he writes C-O. C-O. Care of. And then he writes his name in the book so that if it gets lost, he can find it. There's an example here of a devotee. When he gets a book, he writes C-O, care of, and he puts his name. And maybe the date when he got it. This is the standard. C-O. Care of. Because it means the owner is someone else. I'm the caretaker. Does the caretaker own the building? No, he's only temporarily taking care of it on behalf of the owner. A devotee doesn't think that he owns anything. He's the caretaker. Krishna is the real proprietor. Ishavasya medam sarvam yat kinchat jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena vunjita madgri kakasya sudanam. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Ishvara Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. We can only accept those things which are set aside as our quota, and everything else we know that it all belongs to Krishna, and even what I have, it belongs to Krishna. It's been given to me for His service. In England, if some company makes very good products, then those products will be offered to the Queen of England, and they'll be given a certificate for their company, Her Majesty's Service. And there's the royal insignia, the royal insignia, the coat of arms for the Queen of England, the royalty of England, will be put on your product, which means that your product is being used in the house of the Queen. I remember my mother used to buy some jam, you call jam, or put on bread or whatever, toast. This is called marmalade. Marmalade, it's called marmalade. It's like jam, but it's a sweet and sour type. So it was made with, this was called orange marmalade. It was made with oranges and orange peels, and it's kind of a cross between a pickle and a jam. But it's sour and sweet, very interesting. And it was made by a company called Dundee's, D-U-N-D-E-E-S. It used to come in a white glass crock. It's called crock. It means like porcelain, you know, off-white crock with some kind of paper lid or cardboard lid or whatever. And then on the front there was black print on that clay, that porcelain was printed, Dundee's orange marmalade, and this, whatever, this and that, how much weight. And then it had the symbol of the Queen. in Her Majesty's service. So that symbol and that phrase meant that the Queen of England was using this marmalade on her toast at high tea or whatever. So, like sometimes they say, certified by the government of India or whatever they say. So this is certified product. So that is what we feel, that whatever we have is engaged in Her Majesty's service. Whatever we own, whatever we possess, is engaged in Her Majesty. Her Majesty is Swamini Radha, our Queen, our Priyaji. She is the Priyaji. The ultimate Priya Bhakta is Priyaji Radha, Priya Radhika. She is the ultimate devotee of the Lord. And Krishna, when they're alone and together, Krishna is overwhelmed by the sweetness of Radharani's form and the beauty of her behavior and the ecstatic expression of her love. Krishna becomes overwhelmed and attracted. So he addresses Srimati Radhika. He says, "Oh, my Priyaji, oh Priyaji." And she returns his phrase by saying, "Hey, oh Priyatam, Priya Priyatam ki jai." And Nimbark Sampradaya, we say we worship Radha Krishna, Radha Govinda. But there is Shadeva is Priya Priyatam. Priya Priyatam. So here in the Bhagavad Gita, Priya, the word Priya is being spoken for. What is it? 13. Oh, it's actually also in 13. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Eight verses consecutively. This is the interesting arrangement. Krishna's been speaking chapters 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's six chapters. One third of the Bhagavad Gita is Karam Yoga, Karam Yoga in the first six chapters, and Bhakti Yoga, and then finally Sankhya Yoga. And some summary of some other of the other yogas also. But the six chapters is Bhakti. So these six chapters, there's 30, 40 verses, whatever. So it's around 180 verses about Bhakti. So these final eight verses out of 180, everywhere it says, Same Priya, Me Priya. That who is dear to me, the dear one to me, beloved of mine, my beloved, who is very dear to me, very dear to me. So who is very dear? Who is me speaking here? The me speaking here is Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Parthasarathi, speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he's saying, someone who has all these qualities is very dear to me. So very dear, who is very dear to Krishna? Yashoda is dear to Krishna, Nanda is dear to Krishna, Sri Dan Subhav Balaram. But who is very dear? Srimati Radhika. Prem Sekoho, Sri Radhe. Prem Sekoho, Sri Radhe. Prem Sekoho, Sri Radhe. So this is one point. This is the conclusion of Krishna's discussion of Bhakti Yoga, the art of devotional service, the art of loving Krishna. Bhakti means love, loving union. Union through love, union through action, union through meditation, union through work. This is all different types. Union through knowledge. Gyan Yoga, Karma Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. And then Karma Yoga, then Bhakti Yoga. Union through love. And this, as everyone knows, this is the most intimate type of union, union through love. You may be unified with someone through knowledge, or you may work together, Karma Yoga, work together. You may think together and conceptualize together, think tank, brain tank, IBM think tank, a computer think tank. So you may think together, unified. You may be unified with the Lord through knowledge or actions, kriya. But there's no more intimate or confidential union than the union through love. So bhakti yoga, yoga means connection or union. It's union with the Supreme through love. And love expresses itself as surrender. Atmanavedanam, surrendering body, mind, words. This is the ultimate expression of surrender, where you give your money, your energy, your time, your intelligence, and your very personal body is offered on the altar of sacrifice for the pleasure of your beloved. This is Bhakti Yoga. So this is it, what Krishna is concluding here after 180 or so verses of six chapters. He's concluding these eight verses saying, Priya, very dear to me. So the dearest devotee of Krishna is Radharani. So we can trace Radharani here in these verses, because Radharani, who is the best of all the devotees, she's the greatest worshipper of the Lord and the most pleasing. She has all these qualities. She's non-envious. She's a friend of all living entities. She doesn't think she's a proprietor. She's free from false ego. She's equal in happiness and distress. She's always satisfied. And she's always engaged in serving Krishna with great determination. And her mind and intelligence are fully in agreement with Krishna. This is Radharani. And if you become like that, then you become Samepriya. Samepriya. Very dear to Krishna. Right? Prem Segaho. Sri Radha. So that's 13 and 14. And 15, Krishna says, he for whom no one is put into difficulty. So Radharani doesn't put anyone in difficulty. Radharani frees everyone from difficulty. All dosh, and anartha, and avidya, and unhappiness, and all faults can all be overcome by the mercy of Radharani. So, one who's not put into difficulty, such a devotee is very dear to Krishna. And one who's not disturbed by anxiety. And one who's steady in happiness and distress is very dear to me. Because these are the qualities of a devotee. People may feel that the devotee does not try deliberately to put anyone into difficulty. If someone sees the life of a devotee, or someone thinks that a devotee, a human being who takes up devotional service, if he finds problems with that, or if he finds some difficulty, that's his problem, not the devotee's. Because the devotee is properly situated with the will of the Lord. And someone else may say, hey, what is this? You know, you're causing me so much anxiety, you're causing me so much difficulty. Your devotion, your practice is a devotion. Well, that doesn't mean you're not putting them in difficulty. They are putting themselves in difficulty. You're not doing it. It says, he for whom no one is put into difficulty. Because it says, yasmat na udvijate loka. It says, agitate. He doesn't agitate any persons. He doesn't agitate anyone. He never... Na udvijate loka. And a word for word Prabhupada says, agitate. And it comes into not put into difficulty. So there are different ways, English and Sanskrit, there's so many meanings of the words. So it says, from whom never agitates persons, loko. So it means he never agitates anyone. If someone becomes agitated because I'm praying to God, for example, I'll give you an example. We were traveling Sankirtan, and we stopped in one 24-hour market where you can shop for food 24 hours a day. They have these markets in America, big food. You get this shopping cart and you walk down these aisles. The aisles are, you know, lanes, aisles, and products on each side. And they're like 500 feet long. And there's 8 of them in the store. 8 times 500 feet means 4,000 feet. And 1 mile, which is much more than a kilometer, is 5,600 feet. So it's almost 1 mile of lanes or aisles full of food on each side. 20 feet of toothbrushes. And from here, you walk 20 feet and it goes up 5 feet, there's toothbrushes. Soft, medium, hard, black, white, green. And then after that, there's 20 feet of toothpaste. You know, 400 brands. And you go in and say, I want to buy some toothpaste. Huh? And you spend all day reading labels. So it's really a lot of maya there. So we stopped there to buy some dried fruits and some food for the devotees to eat, make some offering. Dried fruits and nuts or whatever. And I was with my friend, and we were, of course, in dhoti and shaved head. This is in America. And I had my bead bag, and I had my hands in my... And I was just very... Hardly could hear. I was just, like, very softly. Just, like, not bothering anyone. No one could hear. Then this lady, very aggressive lady, checking out the goods and taking... It's called a cashier at the cash register. Hey, what is all this mumbling? No one could hear. But she took issue with the fact that I had a shaved head and looked like some weird... monk or something. Hey, don't do this here. So then I just stopped chanting completely. I was just monastic. But my friend, who was a Sangirtan leader at the time, he was a little bit more aggressive type. He said, "What's it to you? You know, he's praying to God. What's it with you?" And she said, "I don't like it. This is my, you know, this is my store." She's a cashier, right? He said, "You can't do this here." He said, "What do you mean we can't do this?" You know, he was like this. So then she had some button underneath her cash, you know, her table there. She gets trouble, then some security guards come like this. So she presses this button. And then about five guys came out from the back and were stocking shelves. They're just like big college football players, 6 feet, 2.5 meters or so, 100 kilos each. Big gorillas. And then my friend, who was a Sangirtan, he was about 5 feet five. He was five. He was like 1 foot. He was like 12, you know, this much shorter than these guys. And he was strong. He was a street fighter, and he was really fearless, that's for sure. And I told, his name was Jiva, and I said, Jiva Das, I said, "I think maybe we, let's go and like leave this place humbly and quietly." That's a long story. At any rate, so the point is that, I've told that story before. The point is that we did not agitate, and we were not doing anything to agitate anyone. We were not deliberately agitating or disturbing any living entity. But people, as soon as someone sees a devotee, if they're demoniac, if someone is demoniac or actually agnostic or agnostic or agnostic, they become envious. Well, everyone's already envious. They become angry, they become disturbed, they become agitated. Is that our fault or is that their fault? That's their fault. I'm not agitating them. If a snake is there on the ground, I take a stick and I go to the snake. And say, "Come on, come on, come on, hey!" And they push the snake. "Hey, come on, get out of the way, you know." And he goes, "Shh." So that means I'm deliberately agitating him. If I'm just walking along the path at night, then he jumps and bites me. That's just his envious nature. I didn't do anything. I just walked on the footpath is for walking. The path is a human footpath. He was in the grass, 1 foot on the side. I was just walking by. I didn't do anything to him. I was doing my business, walking on the human footpath, and because he was so envious, that's a snake, he jumped out and bit me. So I didn't put him into any difficulty. So this is the same thing. If you're just walking the path of Dharma, it's called Dharma Marg, or Bhakti Marg. The Bhakti Marg is the path Dharma Art Ka Moksha. Dharma is for human beings, not for animals. And Dharma leads to moksha, or liberation, or freedom from birth and death. So if you're walking the Bhakti Marg, or walking the Dharma Marg, that's what you should be doing. Human beings should be religious. They should follow the Yama Niyama of the Shastra, the rules and regulations of the Shastra, to attain happiness and perfection and a higher destination after life, a higher Varna, promotion or elevation up the Varnas, elevation up the Ashrams, elevation from this planet to higher planets, and ultimately elevation to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Prapti, Vaikuntha Mukti, or Radha Krishna Prem Seva, eternal service of Radha Krishna. These are progressions of perfection of human life. If now I'm a Shudra, and if I'm very religious and pious, next life I become a Vaishya, and then I become Kshatriya Brahman, and maybe a Brahman that only gets somewhat up to Grihastha, then I'm a Brahman, I become Vanapras, then Sannyas, and fully dedicated, then I go back to God. So, what happens, so many people, you're on the Dharma Marg or Bhakti Marg, and so many people get agitated. "Hey, what is this? You can be a devotee, but just go on Janmashtami. You just go to the temple on Janmashtami. Why every day you have to chant? Why every day you have to make Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? This is not the way. It's not to be, religion means you do your Dharma. You have your family, you have your sex life, you have your children, you go to the Rotary Club, you go to movies. This is Dharma." So many people, they preach a Dharma, and they don't know anything, and they're envious of God. Misery likes company, so then they preach all wrong things. So when a person wants to live the correct life, then he meets so much opposition. Because 99% of human beings, they say they're Hindu, or they say they're religious, and they're not. They're Hindu in name only, and they're religious in name only. Hindu means I follow the scriptures. Religious means I follow the teachings of the scriptures. So this is not our problem. The human being should learn about God and learn what does God want from me, what is the purpose of human life, what rules and regulations. And you have to follow, either you follow God and the Shastras and the saintly persons, or you follow your family. Follow your family, and it's called Lokavichara. There's Shastravichara and Lokavichara. Vox populi in Greek or Latin is called vox populi. Vox means voice, like vacha. We say vacha, uvacha means voice. In Latin they say vox, V-O-X. English they say voice, very similar. Populi. Populi means people, the people, the jana, the voice of the people. We follow the voice of the people of the particular world or society we live in. And we go wherever they take us, or we follow Shastras, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, and we attain perfection of human life. Ishastra vidhim utrija vartate kamakarata nasa sinva vapnoti nasukam namparamgatim. Krishna is telling in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Ishastra vidhim utrija vartate kamakarata. Ishastra vidhi utrija, Shastra vidhi. Shastra vidhi, what does it mean? Like we say, vidhi bhakti, vidhi bhakti. Shastra vidhi means rules and regulations of Shastra. You should perform Ekadasi Vrata. If you're healthy, you should do Nirjala. If you're old and feeble and sick and very weak, then you should fast till sunset. After sunset, you should take some fruits, bas. Not Savadana, puris and kuduata halava and chakachak, deep fried cheese balls. And all this is not what's told in Shastra. This is an adjustment because of weakness and false interpretation. And Shastra is saying, if you are weak, if you are old, if you are invalid, if you are diseased, then you fast till sunset and take fruits. But if you are healthy, then do nirjal. So that's one vidhi, rule, regulation, Shastra vidhi. And one should observe fasting on Vaman Dwadasi and the Sringa Chaturdasi and the Ram Nomi and Krishnastami and Shiv Chaturdasi. Four or five holidays Vaishnavas should observe very strictly. Fasting. It's called Utsav. Janmastami Utsav. And there's other ones we can add also. Vaishnav Tirubhav and then Shastra Swadhyaya. Shastra Swadhyaya says that human beings should study Shastra. Every day read Gita Pat, Bhagavat Pat, or Puran, and also Stutis and Stotrams. In other words, the Navavidhi Bhakti, this Vaidhi or Shastra Vidhi or Vaidhi or rules comes in. Bhakti means a ninefold process. And they're all, each one is overlapping and each one nourishes the other. They're not independent units. You can't do anything without Atmanavedanam. Atmanavedanam is in degree. You can't hear unless you surrender. So it's not that Shravanam is separate from Atmanavedanam. It's not that, the first thing you do is Shravanam, then finally after 100 years and 3,000 births, then Atmanavedanam. It's not like this. They're all interrelated. Unless you surrender your time and surrender your heart and your ears, you can't do any Shravanam. Oh, I have no time. Then how do you hear? You have to surrender. So, of course, it's partial, it's only the beginning, but you surrender. And how can you chant if you don't hear? You'll be inattentive. And how can you remember? Remembering to chant, you have to hear, you have to chant. To remember, you have to chant. When you're hearing, you have to remember. Otherwise, you can't act. If you hear, this is the combination, but you don't remember, then how do you open the lock later on? This is a combination to the lock. Okay, you have it, yes. Then you take it, then you... I forgot. What's the combination? So when you hear, you also have to remember. Shravanam and Smaranam and Kirtanam. Like this. And if you hear without Padasevanam, then you can't remember. Hearing means... Padasevanam means serving the lotus feet. So you have to hear with an attitude of service. You have to chant with an attitude of service. You have to remember. They're all connected. So Yashastravidam Utsrija Vartate Kamakarata. Vartate Kamakarata. They don't want to follow Shastra, they want to follow their whims, their preconceived idea of what is Dharma religion. Oh, Dharma, this is religious. Every man in the street, your father will tell you this is religion, and your mother will tell you this is religion, and your uncle will tell you, and your grandfather, this is religion, this is the path you should follow. Hey, wait a minute, how come your path doesn't agree with Krishna? Your path doesn't agree with the Shastra. Oh, that's bogus. We don't follow the path. Just follow your father, follow your mother, follow your grandmother. They want to act according to their lust, their desire, their whim. They don't want to fast, so they make a religion of saying fasting is no good. Who said to fast? Eat. That's their lust. Their lust to eat. Their lust to enjoy. Their lust to be the controllers. They don't want to be submissive or dependent on God. Krishna says, you follow this path. If you don't want to follow Shastravidhi, do's and don'ts of Shastra, Yama Niyama, then okay, fine. You're free. You're a free agent. You have a choice. If you act your way, but let me warn you, you're free. You can follow my way. Follow Shastra way, then Dharmart Kamoksha. Or follow whimsical way, then you'll get Nasa Sinema Vapnoti. You won't get any perfection, Nasu Kamna Paramgatim. You'll get no perfection, no sukha, no sukh, no happiness, and no supreme destination, no elevation. You're a Vaishya now and you're acting whimsically, and the next life you become dog, cat, monkey, pig. Or you become Shudra. If you're a little bit pious, you become a Shudra. You become degraded. You devolve from Vaishya to Shudra. Or from a high-class Shudra to from dirty Shudra. You know, there's all levels of Shudras. Artists are also Shudras, and so are Bungies. Artists now make a lot more money than Bungies. Artists are worshipped like God. Singers are Shudras. Movie stars are Shudras. And so are Bungies. But they're Shudras. Maybe they're Vaishyas in their last life, Rich Agarwals or whatever, and become a bungie if they become a human being. It's like the movie stars are Shudras, and how do they get lots of money? What do they do with it? All sinful activity. And what do they become next life? Cockroach, bird, dog, pig. Co-starring Mrs. Pig, co-starring Mr. Pig, with a host of 16 piglets. Co-stars 16 piglets. This film, this pig film, is going to be shot in the mud puddle. One of the main love scene is going to be in the stool field. And they'll be dancing, there'll be lots of dancing. Pigs will be dancing all around the field, running from stool pile to stool pile. So that's what happens. Now, today an actor, tomorrow a pig. Action, reaction. He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anxiety. Because a devotee lives in Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety, Vai means without. Vaikuntha. Prabhupada said, he used to say to his disciples, what is a difficulty? Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada used to say, what is a difficulty? Is it difficult to chant? Is it difficult to hear? Is it difficult to take Mahaprasadam? Is it difficult to see the beautiful deity form? Is it difficult to remember Krishna? Is it difficult? What is the difficulty? But it's saying here that no anxiety. So once a newspaper reporter asked Prabhupada, he said, what do you people do for recreation? Do you have holidays? Do you go on, you have vacations? I know you go on the streets and you have the cymbals and drums and cymbals and you chant. I know you publish your books and you sell your books and you have your rituals in the temple. But okay, that's your activities. So after, do you have like vacation? And you know, you go on vacation, have holiday 2 weeks a year, and always go to Las Vegas or Disney World or France or London or Indonesia or Singapore, all these exotic places that all Indians want to go to. And then Prabhupada said, he answered, he said, our devotees are not so whimsical. They're not so whimsical. He said, actually, he probably said, actually, everything we you say, because the question was, what do your devotees do for recreation? Recreation means holiday. Recreation, recreate. Even they have these vehicles in America called recreational vehicles. It's like they take a big truck and they put a bed in the back and a stereo and a TV and And then, you know, it's like a portable mobile home, like they have for movie actors sometimes in Bombay. They're shooting on site, and then they go in this trailer. It's like a trailer, and they have a refrigerator there with juices and everything. In America, they call it motor home, because usually a lot of times you can drive it. I don't know about India, but it's like a car. It's like a truck. It's like kind of a souped-up Tata truck made into a home. So they call it mobile home. I mean, you know, it's like Hindi, you combine two words or something. So recreation. So these mobile homes are called recreational vehicles. Because you go out on a holiday, you go to a park, they have these big national parks, and you drive your little mobile home there, and they have little slots there. And you pull in your car in a slot, and there's some public bathrooms, and you can hook up to your mobile home with electric wire and have electricity, and you can hook up a water pipe, and you have water in your bath. Some of these mobile homes have bathrooms and everything, shower. Then you walk all around the park and go hiking and trekking and swim in the lake and come back to your little mobile home. And then when you stay in that park for a day or two and pay some money, then get in your car and boom, drive off and go to the next. It's like America. There's all this kind of hi-fi Maya sense gratification. So Prabhupada said, actually, you're asking what do we do for recreation? But everything we do is recreation. We're eating beautiful food, that's recreation. We're hearing beautiful philosophy, that's recreation. We're singing beautiful bhajans and songs, that's recreation. We're dancing, that's recreation. Practically speaking, this is the International Society for Recreation. So therefore, this situation where every dance is every step is a dance, every word is like poetry and singing, and all the water tastes just like sweet nectar, and where life is full of joy, and what life is full of anand, and bliss and happiness, this is called Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, the spiritual dimension. This is the you can say the fifth dimension. Length, width, and depth. Length is lambai, chaurai, and nichai, or whatever. Depth, whatever depth is. Length, width, and depth. That's three-dimensional. Then fourth dimension is consciousness. That's the fourth dimension, but consciousness. But if you enter four-dimensional reality, you may end up in Brahman, because that's just totality of consciousness, a sea of consciousness. But beyond the fourth dimension is the fifth dimension, and that's personal consciousness. That's the dimension of transcendental personality, the dimension of loving exchanges between units of consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. Nityo nityananam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahunam yo viridati kaman. Among all the eternals, there is one Supreme Eternal. Among all the conscious living entities, there is one Supreme Conscious Entity. So we are the unlimited eternal particles, and the supreme eternal consciousness or person is God, the absolute supreme being, Sri Krishna. Nityo nityananam chaitanas, chaitana consciousness, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. That Krishna, one Krishna, eko bahu, bahunam yo vidadati kama. That one Krishna has been fulfilling the desires of everyone since time immemorial. So Krishna and his expansions and his kala amshas, his parts and parcels, demigods, etc., they make all the arrangements to fulfill our desires, no matter where the jivas might stand themselves, in the material world or in higher worlds, lower worlds, or in the spiritual world. All arrangements, all we can do is desire. The conscious entity, the conscious unit, the spirit soul is simply an element of desire. An eternal, we are eternal. We are existence eternal. We're existing eternally, and we have capacity to love and be loved, and to be happy, and to experience happiness, and to generate happiness in others. Ananda feature, and we have thirst for knowledge, but that's all based on the principle of desire. And that desiring unit, we are meant to desire in one with Krishna, desire to serve Him, desire to please Him, desire to satisfy Him. So that realm where all this is going on is called Vaikuntha. It's a very blissful realm where every moment is recreation. So when you live in the spiritual realm, that's called Vaikuntha. Kunta means anxiety. So Vai means without. So when there's no anxiety, you are actually situated in the spiritual world. But no one can say that unless they're devotionally absorbed in devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, like this, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevan, Archanam. So therefore it says that someone is like this is very dear to Krishna, he's Priyosime, because he is who is not disturbed by anxiety. No one in Vaikuntha has any anxiety. No pure devotee has any anxiety. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, you're offering me all kinds of boons and benedictions, my Lord Nrisingadev. But I don't have any anxiety. I am always absorbed in Vishnu Smaranam. He attained his perfection by Vishnu Smaranam, Prahlad Maharaj. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of anything or anyone in this world. I have no limit, no shortages, and I am facing no obstacles, and I have no limitations, because I have you, my Lord. You're always in my heart, always in my mind, always in my words. But I do have one anxiety. I'm anxious. I'm anxious for all the conditioned souls. I'm anxious for all the conditioned souls suffering in the grips of the illusory energy. Can you do something to liberate them, to benefit them?" So that's the only anxiety of the living entities that are in Vaikuntha consciousness, in Vasudeva Chit. The pure devotees are in Vasudeva Chit, or Vishuddha Sattva. They're in pure goodness. They're existing in the spiritual dimension. Although they're in the material body, their body is totally spiritualized, like an iron rod in the fire. You take a black iron rod and put it in, immerse it in the fire for a half hour, it becomes blazing red hot. Changes its color, it changes its actions. Now that iron rod becomes a fire rod, and it can burn other things. So this is called fireized by association with fire. So when one becomes always associating with the Lord, he becomes spiritualized. His material body becomes spiritualized. Not spiritual completely, but spiritualized. It can act spiritually, influence others spiritually, and experience transcendence. This is called Sarup Siddhi in its highest development. So devotees are living in Vaikuntha consciousness. They're living in the Vaikuntha atmosphere. So therefore there is no anxiety. Prasanatma. Asochati nakankshati samasravesha bhuteshu madbhaktim lavadevaram. Brahma Bhuta Prasnatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samasravesha Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Prasanatma. Then he's steady in happiness and distress, and he's very dear to me. If he gets happiness, it's the mercy of Krishna, Krishna's mercy. Let me use it for Krishna's service. Let me not squeeze it or enjoy it or claim it to be my own. Oh, this is happiness coming to me? Oh, let me share this Krishna conscious happiness with others. I see unhappy people. Let me share my happiness with them and elevate them to bhakti. Not let me just enjoy my happiness and gloat over it and relish it for my own mental satisfaction or physical satisfaction. That is the materialist. But the devotee doesn't. He's steady in happiness and distress. Krishna, you give me happiness? Very nice. Oh, you give me distress? That's also your mercy. So someone has this type of attitude and these type of outlooks on this type of behavioral pattern, then he becomes Satcha Maypriya, he becomes very dear to Krishna. A few of a devotee's qualifications are being described here. So this is called Bhakta Adhikar. Bhakta Adhikar, if you want to measure how much of a devotee we are, we can use these eight verses from chapter 12 of the Bhakti Yoga chapter. Chapter 12 is called Bhakti Yoga Adhyaya. And Bhakti Yoga Adhyaya, the devotional service, says in English, devotional service. This is a chapter of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. So we want to have a yardstick to measure our position in devotion, or the extent of our advancement in attachment and love for Krishna. We can see how much we're exhibiting these qualities that Krishna explains, that these are the qualities of the dear ones, of my Priya Bhaktas. Radharani, of course, has these qualities in unlimited amounts, unlimited quantity. And she has unlimitedly more qualities than these also. These are the basics. These are the basic requirements for the entrance examination. Basic requirements to get into the College of Devotion. If you want to get into the College of Devotion, you need these basic qualities which are mentioned in these eight verses from chapter 12. You have to be friendly. You have to be unpossessive, whatever that is, detached. Don't think you own anything. Be free from false ego. Be equipoised. Be satisfied, and be always serving Krishna with determination. dridha nishchaya. Yatatma dridha nishchaya. And the intelligence and mind should be in agreement with Krishna. In other words, we shouldn't fight Krishna. What he wants, we want. What he desires, we desire. We don't try to be over-intelligent or more intelligent than Krishna. Or be more intelligent. And probably just say, if you don't have any intelligence, then associate with someone who... One time one disciple went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I don't have any intelligence. I don't know what to do or I can't figure it out. And Prabhupada said, and he said, Prabhupada, what can I do? I said, that's all right. If you don't have any intelligence, then associate with someone who does. So if you don't know what to do, then find out someone, you can ask someone, do you know what to do? He says, yes, okay, I'll follow you. Show me too. So devotees are like that. They, if you don't know, then find out and learn. And if you still don't know or still can't find out, then find out someone who knows and follow them. So these qualities, we can measure our devotional standing. Are we disturbed by anxiety? We get, oh, Maharaj, I'm so disturbed. You know, my mother's this and that. I say, what are you disturbed? Relax. You're forgetting Krishna. You're forgetting your identity. Why are you wasting time? Don't forget the philosophy of myope. And we have myopia. Myopia is a type of eyesight disease. You can't see far away. Farsighted, nearsighted, whatever. Myopia. So this is called myope. Myope means mind your own business. Mind your own business. Myope. So your mother's business is to find fault and to criticize and to lord it over. And it's her maya, because she's not Krishna conscious, so we should pity her. We should feel sorry for her that she's missing the point of human life. Human life is meant for developing fine sentiments and broad-mindedness and purity of heart and become free from envy and free from the tendency to control and lord it over and to see everyone as a servant of Krishna, including beginning with myself, and to act in a friendly, loving way with all living entities and try to see the harmony and unity of all and see Krishna acting everywhere and work in harmony with Krishna's will. Not try to be the controller and exercise our own will. So when someone's not doing that, then we have to feel sorry for them. If we're not doing it, we have to feel sorry for ourselves and try to correct ourselves. Mostly people are calling themselves mother or fathers, but actually they're babies. That maturity and consciousness is not measured by age, but by behavior. Prahlad Maharaj was only 5, but he was much more mature than his father was. I don't know how old he was. He was hundreds of thousands of years old. Hiranyakashipu appeared in Satyuga. He performed austerities standing on his tiptoes for 75,000 years. Lifespan then was 100,000 years in Satyuga. We live 100 years, they live 100,000. So he stood on his tiptoes, and then his body became frozen in that position. Then his soul merged inside the bone marrow. His soul went inside the bones and the ants ate all the flesh away from his body, and thousands of generations of ants were living in anthills built around his bone structure. The infrastructure of the ant skyscraper was not steel and I-beams, but the infrastructure of the anthill was the bones of Hiranyakashipu, because bones take a long time to disintegrate. Really long time in this case. Pretty old bones. So he was 75,000 years, and then he got his blessing. Brahma touched him with Kamandalu, and he got a new body and got the blessings that he wouldn't die in the day or the night and all these things. So then he went back, and then he had a child. Now Prahlad is 5 years old. Komarat Atrit Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatamiha, says in Bhagavatam. He's preaching himself. Komarat Atrit Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatamiha. It says, Komarat Acharat, the Achara, Komarat Achara, Kumar Achara, the behavior of a young boy is this, Dharmat Bhagavatamiha. He should follow Bhagavad Dharma from the age of 5. I'm 5, I'm following Bhagavad Dharma. I'm doing Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam. And what about you, big boy? What about you, Hiranyakashipu? You spent 75,000 years doing austerity, Now you're back, you know, in this new body for some years. So you're 75,000 years older than I am. I'm only 5, and you're stupid. You're envious. You're a fool. You think you're the controller. You think you're the master. You think you're the Lord. You don't accept the supremacy of Vishnu. You don't bow to him, serve him, worship him. You condemn me and decry me and try to kill me for doing the same. So obviously age is not proof of maturity and consciousness. You get the point. Oh, she's my mother. She's my father. She knows so much. She may be a struggling conditioned soul, just like every other struggling conditioned soul. Mother doesn't mean mukta jeev. Father is not another name for mukta jeev, and mother is not another name for mukta jeev. They're not liberated souls. Mother is only an upadi designation. It's only one of millions. You've had millions of mothers: snake mothers, dog mothers, bird mothers, fish mothers. So many mothers. Why is this mother any more important? Because she's human? What makes her human? What makes one human is rationality. A rational animal. Without minus rationality, we're animal. Rational animal. Animus. So without the rationality, then mother is an animal. So what is rationality? What is rational is God consciousness. What is rational is the purpose of human life, which differentiates human life from all other forms of life. Human life is meant for God realization, God understanding, and exemplifying the qualities of God in minute proportion. One in quality, but not in quantity. God is peaceful, I'm peaceful. God is tolerant, I'm tolerant. God is loving, I'm loving. God is kind, I'm kind. God is merciful, I'm merciful. God is harmonizing, I'm harmonizing. God is compromising. God is understanding. But to be a dictator in the name of mother, and to be a Stalin in the name of a father. This is not humanity. This is not rational. This is animalism. This is gross animalism. The big animal lording over the small. Falguni tatramahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Everywhere, might is right. I'm your mother, listen to me. I'm your father, listen to me. I got the money, I'm controlling. I got the house, I'm controlling. It's all maya. Gross maya. So we have to feel we have in some enlightenment or some knowledge. So knowledge brings good qualities and good behavior. Especially transcendental knowledge brings real proper behavior and proper qualities, godly qualities and godly behavior. So we don't fight fire with fire. This is not the philosophy of a transcendentalist. We fight hatred with love. We fight dissension with understanding. And we fight pride with humility. This is our opposition. We meet pride with humility. If pride opposes us, we react with humility. If hatred opposes us, we react with love. If dissension opposes us, we react with harmony. So these are some points to consider about this verse from Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.